Have you ever wondered what it's like to witness a murder?
Forrest grabbed the knife and then just stabbed Johnny in one motion.
Or how it feels to be shot?
I was immediately hit by a barrage of bullets.
Or how you would react if your spouse hired someone to kill you?
And he was to put me in a grave with a bullet wound on my head.
These are the stories you'll hear on the podcast called What Was That Like? True stories told by the actual person who went through it. You'll hear from a stalking victim.
Came back upstairs, and when I came back and turned the corner into my room, I saw him standing there.
You'll hear from a man who was kidnapped and tortured.
I would do anything, say anything, to simply get away.
And you'll hear actual 911 calls.
Take a deep breath.
Oh my God!
Take a deep breath.
Oh my God!
Take a deep breath.
Oh my God!
Real people in unreal situations. Search for What Was That Like on any podcast app, or at whatwasthatlike.com.
This podcast contains adult themes and language, and some of the things that we discuss may be disturbing to some listeners. In this podcast, we discuss sexual assault, torture, race, and murder. Listener discretion is advised. Please take care of yourself.
So yeah, this was a really heavy doc.
Yeah, it was like normally I watch it and whatever we're watching, like I'll watch it and then I'll watch it again closer to the date of
recording. Do too. Yeah,
and I was going to do that, but after I finished it, I was like, I can't.
Same.
Yeah.
He's oh my God, he's a piece of work. Yeah, piece of shit. Also,
basura.
Basura. Okay. So, Seth, thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a little introduction. Welcome, everyone. Bienvenidos, bitches. Witty Binafi. And welcome to our video club. I'm Wendy, and I'm joined by my wonderful and gorgeous co-hosts, Beth and Minnie. And this is our video club where we pick a true crime doc. I mean, crime. I missed the E. True crime doc. And we watch and we discuss. And this documentary is about sexual violence and harm against children. It is very heavy. So it's not for everyone. And that's okay. If you need to check out of this one and take care of yourself, it's okay. We love you and we'll be here another time. But thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And I guess, well, let me just introduce the doc really quick. What was it called?
Jared from Subway. Catching
Jared the piece of shit from Subway.
The piece of basura from Subway. Right. Oh, my notes are all fucked
up. Jared from Subway catching a monster or something like that.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
And it was on HBO. I watched it on Max.
Okay. But it was also on Discovery Plus.
Right. And those two companies merged, which is why it was also available on Max. And it wasn't like a HBO.
No.
Quality of documentary.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Definitely an ID show.
Yeah, I ended up having to watch it on YouTube because it wasn't on any of the streaming services that
in
I had
Canada.
Available.
Oh, okay.
Or, I mean, you could get it, but you had to pay extra. And watching it on YouTube was cheaper than whatever the alternative was that I was looking at. So,
okay. Yeah. So it was 3 episodes, 42 minutes each. And this was a surprise. I don't think I've seen this before. 10% on Rotten Tomatoes.
10%?
10%.
Oh my God.
It is certified rotten. So
I didn't think it was that bad.
I didn't think it was that bad either.
I wonder if that's an assessment of Jared himself rather than of the doc. Yeah.
Yeah. Seth, get ready. Get ready.
Seth says, I've seen the doc and it went away.
You want me
there
to
it is.
I've,
I
I've
it.
Seen the doc and I'm so ready for y'all to spill the tea. Let's go.
Let's go. Okay.
Oh, we're spilling the tea.
So three mini episodes. There's numerous trigger warnings throughout each episode, which I do think was really helpful because, again, this was so heavy. And unlike any other, there were a lot of tapes of Jared and Jared's fantasies and what he wanted to do. And that was really tough to listen to. But I thought that was why the reviews were so bad. Oh, no. They just hated the cheesy music
Oh, they really?
They hated that journalist lady, Rochelle.
Rochelle. Why did they hate her?
Because she, and we talk about how white women tend to do this sometimes. She centered the trauma all
on herself.
On herself, right.
Yeah. And
she didn't really talk about the victims until the last last few minutes of the last episode. And you know, I think the producers did address it with her at one point. They asked, was this just going to be like a, you know, this, if this story blows and you blow it, that's a big deal for your career. And she was like, well, I didn't think about that, but I also really cared about the children. You know, it just seemed performative. But I do know that many things can be true at once, right? So she could have thought, yes, this would be great for my career. It would be great to also take down a person who's a sick fuck and harming children. And, you know, I get to take all the credit for it. Yeah. Rochelle reminded me of a Carol Baskin character.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit. Yeah.
You know,
she was a little eccentric, I think.
Yeah.
Her makeup really just blew me away.
Yeah.
Is that blush on your eyelids? Wow.
So I did not like her, but I couldn't put my finger on why.
Huh. Okay. Well, I guess.
And maybe that's the feeling I got, like what other people expressed. I don't know, but she just seemed disingenuous.
Mm. It was, you know, I watched the documentary twice. And at first I was like, bitch, why are you doing this?
This is nuts.
This is not real investigative journalism, right? Like I was thinking about the Spotlight scandal that the Boston Globe broke. About the Catholic priests in Boston harming children almost for sport. It was fucking sick.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know how in this day and age you can be an investigative journalist completely independent of a news organization behind you or law enforcement. And those first steps that she took, like she had the bright idea to go after him on her own, was so fucking dumb.
Yeah.
I was like, are you dumb?
Yeah.
Very dumb.
Immediately just called the FBI or the police.
That's it.
You know,
that's
you don't need to be talking to this guy. And
that's what I thought. But then I heard her explanation. She was like, well, they wouldn't have believed me because he had so much money and he was so credible. And then you think about other wealthy men with high status who people have been saying things for a long time and nobody listened. Right.
True.
So I understand her fear, but it just, she could have done it differently initially because when she went into the police station and she was like, I have all this evidence, y'all, check it out. They're like, we are going to charge you. Are you nuts? Like, I don't know why that hadn't occurred to her. So, it was this documentary was a lot. It felt like a roller coaster to me. It was fun. Like in the beginning, they showing all these 90s nostalgia photos of Jared talking to Oprah and the commercials. I lost 262 pounds on the Subway diet.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking at the time, oh, I could lose weight too on the Subway diet. I've never been to a Subway. I'm not that fond of sandwiches, but I'll try it. and then horror. I was horrified. I was disgusted. I was really sad for the those daughters.
The kids. Yeah.
The kids. And then at different periods of time, I felt a sense of relief because it seemed like, oh, they're going to get him. Oh, and it wasn't enough, or this agency, the FBI, didn't have enough evidence, or then the Sarasota Police Department didn't have enough evidence. And he just kept going in the public, like his star continued to rise. Also, Florida was Florida-ing again in this one. and let's see. Those are my initial thoughts. His accomplice. So, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say it seemed wild to me that he made so much money.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't realize that he made so much money being a spokesperson for Subway.
Yeah, neither did I.
Fucking Subway.
I just thought he was just, I always thought of him as some guy that was fame. He got his 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was going around. Like I wasn't aware.
Years.
Yeah. I wasn't
did
aware
y'all
that he
think
was, like,
he had a regular job?
Tours. Well, I figured he was just a guy that, you know, like he lost weight doing the sandwiches and he did, like, to me, like all I remember was like one or two commercials. And I figured, you know, they got the commercials out of him and then they tossed him aside. That's what I always assumed. I didn't even know he was going around and doing tours and stuff. I was completely unaware of that.
Yeah.
Oh, you know? Wow.
So he never came to your school?
No. Well, I mean, I was too old at the time. You know, I was fully grown ass adult at the time. And actually it did kind of, what is that word? Motivate me to try Subway more often.
Yeah.
Because like before that, they weren't really known as like a healthy place necessarily. And after that is like you could get apple slices instead of your chips. And they've started putting the calories on the sandwiches and stuff. And I didn't
Wendy
know that
can't
before.
Wait to talk.
I know. She's like got her hand up, you know. Like, yes, Wendy. Yes,
what? Yes. What was Subway before Jared?
Well, I mean, it was a sandwich shop, but it place. Wasn't. But it wasn't necessarily like healthy because, you know, you didn't think about it as healthy. The calories weren't there and their deals were always, oh, you'll also get a cookie and a bag of chips if you buy, you know, the meal deal, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And so it was like, but then after the Jared thing, then it was like, oh, instead of a cookie, you could have apple chips. And, you know, instead of the unhealthy chips, we've got these other kind that are out there more healthy. And and then you could look at the menu and see the exact calories you're going to get in each one. And so I actually started going to Subway on a regular basis because of that. And I did lose weight.
And I have to say, I like Subway.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I do. Yeah.
I do. Because I like all the vegetables on my sandwich.
Yeah. I like that.
A lot of the sandwich places, it's all about cheese and meat and grease. And
yeah,
I do like getting like all those vegetables on my sandwich.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I still go there sometimes, not anywhere near as much as I used to.
Yeah.
And the whole Jared scandal kind of turned me off from it for a while, actually.
For a little while. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it is,
you kind of wonder, it's like, how much did they know?
Yeah,
exactly. They seem to have been doing fine. And they were riding with Jared for so long. It seems implausible that they didn't know a thing.
Yeah.
And so that bothers me. But I love $5 foot longs.
Yeah, that's a great fresh. Deal.
Subway, eat fresh.
They You're got welcome,
good,
Subway.
They got
There's
good
your commercial.
Commercials. Yeah. Sponsor us. No, just kidding. Yeah. Hey, Beth.
Yeah.
What's something besides true crime that you and I both love?
Movies?
Yes.
Ding, 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 I win.
Did you catch my Jeff Goldblum impression?
Yeah.
yes. And Beth and I have seen many together. Oh, yes. And my favorite part about going to a movie is the magic of it all. The popcorn, the snacks, the drinks, the comfy seats, and just taking it in and getting lost in the screen and the sound. Beth, what made you fall in love with movies?
I just love getting lost in the stories.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can try to capture that at home, but you can't. You can't.
Not exactly the same.
No. There's always something that interrupts the flow. You got to pause. You got to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I love going to the movies so much that I go back to see the same ones in theaters, sometimes more than once.
Oh, girl.
Yeah. And in fact, I just saw Dune 2 again with my grown kids for my birthday.
Again?
Yeah.
But also, happy birthday.
Thank you.
That's right. We at Fruit Loops, we don't play about our movies. Beth doesn't play. I don't play. So if you don't play about your movie going experience and like going to the theater, then Regal Unlimited just makes sense.
Yeah. Regal Unlimited is an all you can watch movie subscription pass that pays for itself in just 2 visits.
Pays for itself? What? Who? How?
So you can see any standard 2D movie anytime with no blackout dates or restrictions. And then if you want to see a movie in a premium format like 4DX, IMAX, RPX, or ScreenX, your Regal Unlimited membership gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost.
Oh, yeah. I see. Oh, wow. Wow. And with Regal Unlimited, you won't just save money on tickets. You will also save on the most important part, folks, snacks. Woo. The snacks. That's right. Members get 10% off on all non-alcoholic concession items.
You can't see a movie without popcorn. You just
absolutely
can't.
Not.
No.
Nope. Nope. Mm-mm.
So if you're planning to see two movies this month, you need to join Regal Unlimited. Sign up now in the Regal app or on Reg Movies. That's regmovies.com/unlimited. Use promo code FloopsReg, that's FLOOPSREG, to let them know that Beth and Wendy sent you.
Again, go to the Regal app or on regmovies.com/unlimited and use promo code FloopsReg.
Yeah, let them know we sent you, and thanks Regal Cinemas for sponsoring the show.
So just I wrote a brief recap of each episode. And if you guys want to go into it a little bit more, we can. But we don't have to, again, because this documentary was a lot.
Yeah.
So episode one, we meet Jared. He's like 435 pounds. We meet a couple of people who knew him in high school and junior high. And then all of a sudden, this article gets written about him. He lost over 200 pounds only eating Subway sandwiches. What? And then Subway makes him their spokesperson and he becomes a superstar, a sensation. But behind this lovable facade lurks a dangerous secret. And we meet Rochelle and we learn about her. And then they talk about the obesity epidemic in America. And I just wanted to say that obesity, kind of like poverty, is like criminalized and stigmatized such that a person struggling with it is seen as like it's their fault and entirely their problem.
People lose empathy when the bigger you get, the less empathy people give you.
Yeah. And I think that that is something the documentary could have
talked about.
Maybe talked about a little bit better.
Actually.
Yeah. I mean, the thin aesthetic is a very white, Eurocentric aesthetic, right? And so I just think that that's, did I cut out? I just think it was worthy of a discussion.
And I did feel bad for him when he was a kid, like all the bullying he endured.
Yeah. He did endure a lot of bullying. He had what I would have called a Steph. Perfect.
Steph says, I'm not struggling with obesity. I'm great at it.
Hey, all my thick queens in the house. Yeah, I'm in shape. I'm round. It's just these ideas of super diets and being thin. That wouldn't fly today. Like Subway has taken a totally different direction. You can't make money and advertise that way. There is this whole body positivity movement and fat positivity, even people embracing the term for themselves. And so
I've noticed is, so in the 70s commercials, a lot of the people looked really natural. And then into the 80s, 90s, and so on, people became less and less natural. I mean, looking in commercials. And I'm noticing a trend now going back to a natural.
Going the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love it.
Yeah, I love it too. I am a big fan of, I mean, I think in my mind of like Lizzo, somebody like Lizzo, who is so beautiful, right? And does all the things. She's active, she's healthy, and she loves herself. But she gets a lot of negativity on the internet from haters who look at somebody like her as lazy, not as intelligent, undesirable, useless, all those things that we attribute to value.
And it's just like, I don't know. I always go back to what the fuck is wrong with people, you know? It's like, come on. The struggle that people have looking past their bias, you know, or looking past what they've been fed and appreciating a person for who they are. Like, I don't know why that's so hard for people. I don't know. We have a tendency as human beings to judge what we see and make assessment. And it is an animal kind of thing to do. Because in the animal world, you recognize your own species by recognizing like a stripe down the back or, you know, whatever spots on the side. And then you recognize your own species that way. And I think genetically we have that in us, but we also have, we have predisposition to that predisposition.
That word.
judge. Yeah. Yeah. That
got
word.
It. Nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah. But we also have the brain power to
overcome,
think
that.
About it, yeah. And look past it and go, oh, I might have reacted sort of instantaneously, but, you know, let me just let go of that and then get to know this person or whatever, you know, or
yeah.
not just immediately hate somebody because they're
what
different
they look
from
like.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we you talk know. About on the show a lot about how the news is racist, but the,
yeah.
the news
the
essentially
news is a lot of is.
It's a lot of is, and mm-hmm. the news tells us what's important and what to yeah. care about, right? Mm-hmm. So if yeah. the news is saying childhood obesity is on the rise,
then we realize that. That.
Yeah.
Obesity is coming to get
like,
us.
Yeah, or the yeah. news is like, surveys say the most beautiful woman in the world is KKK. Yeah, Kate yeah. Middleton. There is a news story that's out there, and the
oh
black people
gosh.
In the room are like, but yeah. if you are fed these images and messages mm-hmm. that this is what is acceptable, this is what you should be, this is the box you're supposed to fit in. I think that's where a lot of us were thinking in the 80s and 90s, right? Mm-hmm. In early 2000s. Yeah. And we didn't know better. We didn't have Jesus yet in our lives at that time. So he's famous. He's positioning himself as like this authority on health and helping kids. And then what turned it all around is he's sitting on the couch with Rochelle to do an interview, and he says something horrific about his desire for young girls. And I wondered if she had just said something like, it's a wrap, maybe that could have ended this. Not ended this, but started some sort of
yeah,
inquiry
I
by somebody
about
of authority.
What would I have done? I don't know what I would have done.
I don't think I would have done what she did.
No, I definitely wouldn't have done what she did, but I don't know what I would yeah. have done.
None of us would. Oh,
no, it would have freaked me out
yeah.
so much that probably I would have been like, bye.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, like, but I don't know. I might have told somebody that
in my,
he said this, you know, and it
yeah.
was really creepy, you know.
There has to have been a handler, a producer, or somebody on
yeah.
the set.
Yeah, she could have told.
But would yeah. they have cared, you know? Like,
well, yeah, I don't know. But if lots of people are telling them, eventually they, I mean, it took them,
yeah.
what, 5 years mm-hmm. or something crazy
yeah.
like that to
yeah, and it took 40 to
him?
Take Cosby down. Yeah,
yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
So she talks about that moment, and then she is like, I got to do something. Oh, we also met Pam, who was also another woman who lost a bunch of weight. And she
oh,
was
right.
like this nice,
friends of Jared.
Nice Midwest
yeah.
woman. And she talked about, oh, Jared is so nice. Oh, Jared is so this and so that. And she never saw his bad side, she said.
Yeah.
But that's how they get you.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. they ask Rochelle, why are you doing this? She explains all the reasons. And she is hellbent on getting dirt on Jared. So she takes it upon herself under her own recognizance to put a recorder in her purse and go meet up with him at his hotel.
Which is nuts. That was nuts.
She
like,
has,
why would you even do that?
Yeah, again, and
she's
one
a
of
different
you said,
kind of person.
She is. One of you said, I wonder what I would do if I was in that situation.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Rochelle is, she's been divorced. She has two kids. She has a great job. She, I'm guessing, is in her mid-40s. Like, I just turned 39, and in my mind, I'm the wisest woman around. But I would think that I would have a good enough head on my shoulder with all of that to say something at the time. And she just didn't, which is, I don't know if it's the Florida in her or I don't know.
Or the Carol Baskin.
Or the Carol Baskin. I don't know what it was. But that thought never left me. Like, why did she do this?
Okay. Yeah, I agree. That's something that bothered me the whole time. Like, why? What was?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand what she said. The reason was
yes,
but
mm-hmm. yes.
what was the real motivator for her?
Right, right.
All I kept thinking was every time she took one more step, I kept thinking, would I have done that? Like, what would I have done? Like, in that, I don't think I would have done that. I kept, you know, and it was like, I think I would have just got up and left because it would have just freaked me out
yeah.
or I would have felt unsafe or, you know, like, how did she not feel
unsafe? Yeah.
So unsafe that she couldn't continue doing that. You
yeah.
know? Yeah.
I'm baffled.
Yeah.
So, her son is also featured in the doc, and we learn about Jared's age preferences, which are mm-hmm. prepubescent mm-hmm. and disgusting.
Gross. So gross.
Then we cut to episode 2, where Rochelle undertakes this mission and she's out to expose Jared as a child predator, but the investigation takes a dark turn and the lives of two young girls change when they encounter the subway guy. So this point in the documentary, it's 2008 in Sarasota, Florida. And we finally meet a real investigative journalist in the documentary. Tim, the dude with the ponytail.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And what his tactic was to follow the money, not try to sleep with Jared or record his ridiculous phone calls. Follow the money. So that's what he did. And he ended up finding out about this Russell Taylor guy who was in charge of the Jared Foundation, which was this foundation that went all over the country teaching kids about health and wellness and fitness. And Russell Taylor is a train wreck, somebody said in the documentary. They had a picture of his LinkedIn profile. And I cackled when I saw this. I said, this person hasn't posted in a while. What? Are you really? We get to meet a little bit closer the two girls who became Russell's stepdaughters. Actually, I forgot to mention in the very beginning of the doc, like within the first 5 minutes, they proclaim they are two of Jared's 14 victims. So we get to know them a little bit better here. And they talk about, Russell became their stepdad. And they had a big house now. And he loved making movies and he had his own production company and he had like movie equipment in their basement. And it was so cool at first. And then they talk about how their mom changed, where she was like this super Christian mom to like party mom all of a sudden. And they were like, it was awesome at first. And then their mom became their friend. Like everything changed in a dangerous way for these girls. And their mother was like encouraging them to get drunk and smoke weed. And they were allowed to have parties in their house. And they were like 12 and 15 years old. And there was one really, I don't know what the word is, but it stuck out in my mind. There was a picture of them, young girls with a fifth of Jack Daniels and a bowl of weed in the other. I was like, whoa, 12 and 15. So we get back to Rochelle. She finally decides, I'm not qualified for this. And she goes to the FBI. And that's when they're like, bitch, you can't be recording somebody without their permission. We could charge you. And so she had no choice but to become an informant. And
didn't know that you couldn't record somebody without their knowledge.
Depends on the state.
It depends on where you live. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We meet Bob, the FBI guy, who's doing interviews from an SUV in a parking garage for no reason.
Yeah. That bothered me too. Like, why are you interviewing him in a SUV?
There wasn't a hotel room or a conference room available anywhere.
So many interesting parenting choices in this doc. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. I got to say, I feel like the only parent who made the right choice is Jared's wife at the end.
Yeah.
When she immediately filed for divorce, immediately asked for custody, full custody of the kids, and immediately denounced him and then tried to sue the pants off Subway. She lost.
Yeah.
But I was like, that's how it's done. My heart broke for her because I don't know what somebody is supposed to do when your family is turned upside down because of the misdeeds of somebody else who's close to you. And I imagine, it seemed like it was a really difficult, challenging situation, but I feel like she did the right thing. And I thought,
what you definitely don't do is even consider putting cameras in your child's room for the enjoyment of a pedophile. That's what you don't do.
Yeah. Thank you. I wish my soundboard
not even consider it.
I wish my soundboard wasn't fucked up so I could give you a round of applause.
Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi, I'm Matt Harris. Seton Tucker and I host the podcast Impact of Influence, which for 2 years covered in depth Alec Murdoch, who was eventually convicted in 2023 of murdering his wife Maggie and son Paul. That story continues to evolve, and we will cover that. Plus, we will tell you stories of other true crime events that have happened in the South. Please join us on Impact of Influence and give us a follow on the Impact of Influence Facebook page.
I want to take a moment to tell you about my podcast, Carol Costello Presents Blind Rage. In 1984, a woman named Phyllis Cottle was abducted in broad daylight, tortured, and left to die in a burning car in Akron, Ohio. At the time, I was a rookie reporter covering this horrific story. Since then, I've reported every kind of crime imaginable. I've been able to leave most of them at work, but not this one. The one that buried itself under my skin and stayed put. Phyllis Cottle was a badass woman, and I want to tell you her story. A production of Evergreen Podcasts and signature title of the Killer Podcast Network, you can find Carol Costello Presents Blind Rage wherever you get your podcasts. Discover more great true crime and paranormal programming at killerpodcast.com.
So Bob explains pedophilia to us, and the daughters talk about how Russell started getting increasingly more inappropriate with them. And if you're wondering why their mom wasn't in the dock, spoiler alert, she's basura. That's why.
She's in jail.
He's in jail.
Yeah.
She was working with Russell to put her daughters in harm. And that
she was also even worse, because she, as the parent, would have more influence over her children than this guy would.
Yeah.
And she got them involved.
Yeah.
I mean, all she had to do is the first time he even expressed an interest in her daughters, just cut them off and, take your kids and you go, I think she was worse because of.
She was the mom.
She allowed it. Yeah. And the girls say their mom was supposed to protect them and love them.
Yeah.
She didn't.
She didn't.
And that was a lot. We get into the third episode. It's like New York City Marathon time. It's 2010. Still haven't got Jared yet, but we're close, kind of. So Rochelle ends up going to the Sarasota PD because she's frustrated that the FBI is like not doing what she wants them to do. And I think, I went a little too far ahead. She was talking to Jared and she was becoming more and more disturbed. And she was like, I got to get out of this. I can't do this anymore. I think her daughter might have found some notes or something like that. So the FBI was like, let's do a sting. And the sting can be your son's birthday party. And she tries to get Jared to come to this fake birthday party. He can't. FBI can't get their resources. So it all falls through. And then she loses contact with Jared. And then we cut to 2010.
There was a comment from Seth. Seth said, it made me wonder if Russell introduced drugs to the mom and instigated addiction in her.
It's very
which
possible.
Is actually an excellent point.
So the girls said their mom was like a super religious Christian lady. Mm-hmm. And then when she met this guy, then it all went out the window.
Party time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and I can't imagine that it cannot be easy to be a single mom with two teenage girls. Right. And so if somebody comes along who's willing to like help you and love you.
Nope.
Wait, hang on a minute. Wait a minute.
Just
Are
no.
you saying huh. that's nope, a no. red flag?
No, I'm saying you don't just do whatever just because this person is willing to take care of you. What I mean, I was a single mom. Mm-hmm. I had two teenagers. I raised them on my own.
Yeah.
And it's just not, you just can't just accept whoever because they're willing to take care of you. No.
Yeah, I totally get that. But I'm just thinking of the movie Precious by Sapphire, where Monique is like, she is totally aware that it's totally fictional, but her husband, she's totally aware that he's messing with her daughter, Precious, and she's angry at Precious. Anyway, it's
that's
complicated.
Bullshit.
Yeah, it's I think I feel though that it is complicated. I don't think I would do it, but.
But you can see how another person might be drawn into it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Back to
I'm going
to
say no.
Still no. Yeah.
Still no.
Next. Okay.
So Rochelle goes to the FBI. She can't take it anymore. She goes to Sarasota PD. She can't take it anymore. She ends up with this weird disease, reflex sympathetic dystrophy, which she calls suicide disease. This is where the white woman centering herself again thing really got to me. And she's like, it's the most painful disease known to man. If it is, how come we never heard of it before?
And how come you're sitting there fine?
Thank you. Not to say that she wasn't in pain and she didn't go through a lot, you know, in this entire situation, but you know, she's not really, I don't know. She's frustrating because she could have gone to the FBI a long time ago. She could have gone to the Sarasota's PD a long time ago before she got so involved with him directly in such a sick way. And oh, Jared gets married again to Kate McLaughlin. And she's the housewife caring for his kids. By this time, Jared's worth $15 million. And the FBI catches on to Russell. And I think what got him popped was the bestiality photos. Did you guys catch that part?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did catch that part.
Did you have the pleasure of seeing that part?
No. Russell Tyler, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. His wife, the mom of the girls, mm-hmm. Angela Baldwin, I guess is her name. She was in those photos.
Yeah. That was a lot to take, but they discover that law enforcement finds out, they raid their house, they discover that there's hidden cameras all throughout the house in places where the girls showered and slept.
And it was actually through arresting Russell Tyler that they got Jared.
Right.
It had nothing to do with Rochelle.
Yeah.
That's a good point. But Rochelle's involvement was very effective in his sentencing. So they didn't catch him because of Rochelle, but he got put away for, I think, longer than he necessarily would have. And that's another thing. We should talk about that.
Good point.
So he got sentenced to 15 years and there's 14 victims. And Rochelle did say that's not enough time. I personally don't think it's enough time, but I wonder if the prosecutors talked to the victims about what they thought. This was just 8 years ago. So I wonder if the prosecutors would have talked to the victims about what they thought restorative justice was.
Yeah.
It's my hope if 15 years was all he got. I mean, he has to register as a sex offender when he gets out. But what else is there? What about, you know, I don't know. What else is there? And I'm not somebody who was harmed by Jared, but I am curious what those who were harmed would say.
Yeah.
The two young girls who were his victims seemed mostly focused on where they are now. And their freedom. And, you know, they went to their childhood home and they talked about, what did they say? That they've gotten a taste of what freedom is. And I thought that that was really beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Jared goes to jail and that's it.
Yeah, it did. It did end like super suddenly. Yeah. I was watching it. And then it says that, you know, he went to jail for 15 years and it was like the end. And I'm like,
yeah,
what?
He also said he was sorry at his sentencing. And again, Rochelle, her tapes did persuade the judge to give him more time. The minimum sentence is 5 years. The maximum is 50. And he got 15.
Yeah.
So
I feel like a more appropriate sort of not punishment, but I mean, like a making amends kind of thing would be for him to go to every school that he had gone to talk about health. And publicly apologize and explain to all of the children that you can't necessarily trust adults. And if they want you to do naked things with them, don't. And you have the right to say no. And doing the world tour, but as a making amends kind of tour instead of, you know.
Interesting idea. Yeah, yeah. Like an amends yep. tour. I wouldn't want him to like make a gazillion dollars.
No, not making
off of it.
Not making money. No, no,
have
not
to be
making
in
money.
A cage like Hannibal out there.
Yeah, but it's just like you often talk about changing the system and like what do we do instead? And I mean, you make me think, and that's. I mean, I love that.
So I've
actually, you know, a lot of the time now I start thinking about, well, what do we do with these people instead? Like. We can't just lock everybody away forever. That's just clearly not working, you know?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
So what do we do instead? You know, there's got to be some kind of...
that he could just gouge
his eyes out. Yep. he could just gouge his own eyes out.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Simple solution.
There we go. It's all fixed.
Yes. Any other final thoughts before we hop into some wacky news?
Well, I felt bad after I said that about Rochelle and her disease. And so
Did you look it up?
I'm looking it up and it's not called suicide disease.
Oh.
That's something else, or at least from what I can tell from Googleisha.
Okay.
So She had was reflex sympathetic dystrophy. And when I Googled suicide disease, it came up something else.
Okay. And I'm not, am I the only one who heard her say that?
Oh, no, I heard it. It went in one ear, not the other. I was like, whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
But I mean, maybe she does. But yeah, now I feel bad too.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's what we do here. This is a safe space. We mess up all the time and it's okay. I appreciate you saying that.
Suicide disease is I don't know how to pronounce this. Trigeminal neuralgia.
Okay.
That's not what she said she had. So I don't know if it's similar or what, but yeah.
Okay. Well, Seth says the doc made it sound like Rochelle's daughter died by completing suicide for a long time. And
I don't remember what happened to the daughter. I know the son moved to Taiwan, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, that is interesting. Yeah.
Because where Jared used to go.
They kept showing a sad photo of her and talking about her in the past tense. Oh,
yeah.
That's interesting because there was a point in the doc when the son was like, I don't know how much I can say.
Yeah.
And I wanted him to say more, but I also respected like he's trying to protect his sister, you know?
Right.
Yeah. One of the things about the documentary is when she was talking about setting up the birthday party and all of that. And then she was talking about Jared wanting her to put cameras in her kid's room and things like that. She never said that she didn't do those things. All she ever said was that she didn't know what to do. She kept saying that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But she didn't say what she did do or what she didn't do. So I'm wondering, like, how far did she take it, you know?
Yeah. I wondered that too.
Yeah. Even though a large part of what she did was responsible for getting him arrested, I still didn't feel good about what she did. And I'm not completely certain that, you know, the things he said were disgusting, but just because he said them doesn't mean he actually did them. I'm not saying.
Well, that's what the FBI was saying too. It's like, we can't do anything about this. We haven't caught him doing anything. Mm-hmm. He's just saying these things.
Yeah.
And that's what was frustrating her, apparently.
And then on the other hand, maybe her always going to him and wanting him to talk more about him, was she actually escalating his desire for these things by being another supportive adult telling him that that's normal. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of going, you know, Jared, that's a little weird.
That's fucked up.
Not okay.
Interesting.
Instead, she's like, ooh, that's exciting. Tell me more, you know?
Yeah.
Which, you know, maybe he was making stuff up, or maybe even like going into his imagination even further. What else could I do? What else does she want to hear that could be even more exciting, you know? And so maybe in a way, you know, she was kind of egging him on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me of, you know, Beth, when we've covered killers who are like duos, you know, how that conversation went.
Yeah. I always wonder, like, how do they find each other? Like, I like to kill people. How about you? I love it when I can torture them too.
This makes me think of that. Last thing I'll say, we did rag on Rochelle a lot, but her son said, I think she's a hero. And the two victims did say that they were grateful that Rochelle didn't back down and spoke up because they were kids and they couldn't. Yeah. So
there's that.
There you go, Rochelle.
Yeah.
You get a few stars in my book.
The truth about the Haditha massacre has been covered up, but not anymore.
I know you know what happened.
They went into houses and killed women and children.
What are you thinking?
What a mess.
U.S. Marines murdered innocent civilians in cold blood.
And at the center of it all
is 25-year-old Sergeant Frank Wooderich.
And me. Murder in House 2. A new podcast from Crowd Network.
We'll be right back.
We are gathered here today to give you permission to plan the wedding that you want.
I'm Jessica Bishop.
And I'm Sari Wienerman.
And we're the hosts of the Bouquet Toss podcast.
Today's couples have to juggle so many things, from family expectations to outdated traditions and what's currently trending.
So to make it easier, we're going deep to figure out why we do weddings the way that we do, so you can decide what to keep and what to toss from your wedding day plans.
You are cordially invited to subscribe to the Bouquet Toss wherever you get your podcasts or at evergreenpodcast.com.
By the power vested in us, we pronounce you free to plan your day your way.
Now, yeah. Anything else?
It was just a really hard.
It was hard. That one was really hard to watch. Tough. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We have to do something funny next time.
Yeah. I'm glad it's over. Well, do you guys want to talk about, let's see. I know the submarines is on a lot of people's mind. Does anybody want to talk about the submarine?
Oh, wait. Seth said something. I kept telling people who wanted to see this doc, whatever you think he did, it's worse. Yeah.
Yeah. That should be the review on Rotten Tomatoes. Whatever you think it was.
It's
worse.
This shit right here. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know it was on that level. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I didn't either. And yeah, I don't know what else to say. I'm like speechless because it was.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the submarine.
All right. Well, a submarine with a bunch of rich people. Sank and they.
So I watched
survive.
This funny TikTok. I mean, everybody's been making jokes about it. And
yeah,
I watched a lot of TikTok videos about it. One was from an ethicist who was saying, like, there was a lady who was saying, it's so bad that these people are making jokes about these rich people who died in a submarine. And this ethicist was like, actually, it's ethically neutral because they're not talking about the people, really. They're talking about the systems.
Thank you.
Yeah. Billionaires. I watched a funny TikTok video where the lady was like, it's a black lady. And she's like, whenever I think about doing something or going somewhere, I think, are there going to be any black people there? And there's no black people on that sub. So
I'm not going. I don't want it. Thank you. Yeah. Black Twitter has had me in stitches all week following this story. There's been, you know, memes of black people like, I'm going swimming to go get the billionaire's wallet, you know, stuff like that. I mean, I don't know. It was a nice distraction. If I'm being totally honest about, you know, because we've been looking at this clown and important papers in his bathroom.
This
was a really nice.
Which is also funny, actually, that he was keeping these important papers in his bathroom.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's all like ridiculous. Like I hate it here. So it's so crazy. It's just like a clown show.
It's been nuts for the past, like, what, 7 years?
Yeah. I can't take much more of this. Let's see.
I always think you can't, but then
there's more.
It turns out there's more and you can.
But wait, there's more.
But wait, hold my beer.
But yeah, the memes have been funny. That's all I have to say about the submarine.
Okay.
Rest in peace to the five people who died. Certainly.
Yeah.
But
so I also saw another video. A lady was talking about, she was, can't remember. She's a scientist. She was talking about
these people on your TikTok?
Oh, I don't know. I have a great algorithm, apparently.
Oh my God.
She was talking about what the submarine was, the material that the submarine was made out of and why it happened the way it happened. But I don't remember all the sciencey stuff. Minnie, maybe I'll find it for you. Maybe it can explain it to us. But
absolutely.
But she said that the submarine imploded immediately. Nobody knew what was happening. They didn't feel any pain. Mm. So
yeah,
that was good to hear.
Yeah, I felt the same when I heard that news.
So, you know, I heard the news about people going down in the submarine and that they were looking for it. I didn't hear that they didn't find it. I was like only vaguely aware of all this. Why were they down there? Why
you're
did
not
they go gonna
believe
there?
This? They wanted to go see the Titanic.
Oh,
you know, the ship that sank 100 years ago, the one with the 3-hour movie,
like, there's so
with
many
Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Blanchett, and photographs all over the internet.
Right?
And,
okay, they wanted to see it in person.
In person, yeah.
Okay.
And this submarine had no windows. It could only be open from the outside.
Wait, how are they going to see it?
If they have cameras?
There was a screen. There was a TV screen showing them.
Just send a camera down. Jesus Christ, do you really have to go down there?
And then the controller was like a Sega Genesis joystick. Yeah. And the release said death on it.
I'm just seeing this little pod.
More than three or four times. Risk of death three or four times on the release. Yeah. I mean,
and they paid $250,000
each
to go down. Yeah.
Oh my God. And then they died. Come on. like, isn't there stuff in the world that needs that money a lot more than you?
Well, I saw
in the ocean and not coming back.
About how millionaires and billionaires love doing things in tubes. Like the millionaires who went down to see the Titanic in a dick shaped tube. Jeff Bezos up to space in a dick shaped tube. What's that other one? Elon Musk. I don't know. He is a dick shaped tube. But so, they just can't help themselves.
Did you hear about Elon Musk challenging Mark Zuckerberg to a cage fight?
What?
Yeah. And
isn't that like an episode of Friends?
my comment is the billionaires are off the hook this week.
Well, you know, Zuckerberger is trained in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, yeah. So he'd kick Elon Musk's ass. So I don't like either of them, but I would love to see Elon Musk get his ass kicked.
Me too.
Oh my God.
Let's make it happen for Christmas, shall we?
We're ancient Rome. It's happening. Like, we have a Colosseum, then we're filling it with water to make people have ships and have battles in it. That's what we're gonna do. You know, doesn't matter.
This is priceless.
Steph says, doesn't matter who wins that fight. We all win. That's right. Whichever one gets their ass kicked.
High five.
Yeah, we do all win.
We do all. Let's make this happen.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh man. All this wasted resources is just like killing me. It's killing me.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Hey, speaking of waste of resources. Ever heard of the Supreme Court?
Oh my God. Waste of resources, more like waste of space. Am I right?
Exactly. Ba-dum-bum. I just wanted to give an update because we said that we talked about this on our extra episodes. We're following this ICWA case, the Indian Child Welfare Act case,
right,
that was brought up to the Supreme Court after a white family tried to adopt an indigenous child. And they got really mad because they had to wait at the end of the line because the law says that before the child can be taken out of their first humanity step is find somebody who is capable to take them in their indigenous community or in their tribe. Yeah. Because if indigenous communities don't have children, they will die out. And so the white people who brought the lawsuit, by the way, had already successfully adopted the child. There was just this hoity-toity oil company law firm that was like, hey, can we represent you pro bono? Mm. And they were like, sure, fine, whatever. So that law firm pursued the case and took it all the way to the Supreme Court. And luckily, there was a majority to uphold the law as it stands. This law has been in place for decades, and it's the gold standard in terms of the welfare of Native American children. So it's been upheld, and I thought that was great news. And that
is surprising, actually.
I was expecting the worst, but this was an absolute pleasant surprise. And then I don't remember if we covered this case, but it's just an update on a young woman whose name is Unique Harris. She was 24 years old, 13 years ago in Washington, D.C. She went missing. Black woman, mother of two children. She disappeared from her home. Somebody snatched her out of her house. Mm. And the man who was responsible has been found guilty of second degree murder. And so that was also an update on the true crime news. Okay. And that's all I got.
That's all you got. Okay. All right. Well, Seth, do you have any ideas for our next documentary? You don't have to answer now if you don't want to. You can message us later.
Oh, yeah.
But we like to, people who come to the meeting, we like to give them first dibs. So you can think about it. Have y'all talked about the Duggar Dock?
Oh, yeah, that one was.
Yeah.
That one was juicy. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do that
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Happy shiny people. Yeah, that's.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Happy people. yeah, that's a good one. Oh, I did too.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was fascinated by them. First of all, where are the black people?
For the people who are just listening, Steph said, I grew up watching those folks on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They were around for a long time and it just kept going.
I never watched it, but my daughter did. Uh-huh. But I don't like reality TV, so I just never watched it. I know.
Oh,
I know.
Well, I won't invite you to watch Housewives with me. Bye. All right. Well, this has been a lot of fun. It was three episodes, so I was worried about time, but I really didn't want to hash the details.
No, we didn't need to go.
I'm so glad we didn't. Thank you.
I don't think it yeah. needed to be three episodes, to be honest. I think it could have been one episode.
Yeah, there was
for
a lot 10% of repetition
on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did not need to be three episodes.
Yep.
Bye, Seth. Thank you
bye,
so
Seth.
Much.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
We love you, Seth.
Yeah,
we love you. Love you. We appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Bye.
All right.
Bye. Wait. So, bye. Should we do an outro?
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, that's all, folks. This has been Fruit Loops Video Club, and this is for our Patreons, and we are so grateful for your support. Thanks for tuning in. Whether you watched the documentary or not, if you did watch it, let us know what you thought of this recap. And if you have ideas for things to talk about in the future for future video clubs, please get at us. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Fruit Loops Pod. And we have an email address. It's fruitloopspod.com. And we have a phone number. It goes
602-935-
62-94-4 and that's it.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Well, that case, I will see you gals and Seth later on the internet.
Bye.
I have to figure out how to get out of this thing.
I'll just end it.
Okay.
How's that?
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Bye, bye y'all. Okay. Hey, real quick. Can you guys hear this?
No.
No.
Oh, it blasted in my headphones. Sorry. Okay. Well, let me put away the sound effects then. Dang it.
Whatever you think he did, it's worse. Yeah.
Yeah. That should be the review on tomatoes.
Oh my God. He's a piece of work. Yeah. Piece of shit. Also.
Basura.
Basura.
What was it called?
Jared from Subway. Catching
Jared the piece of shit from Subway.
The piece of basura from Subway. $5 foot long.
Yeah. That's a great fresh. Deal.
Subway, eat fresh.
You're welcome,
good,
Subway.
They got
there's
good commercials. Yeah,
I don't know what I would have done.
I don't think I would have done what she did.
No, I definitely wouldn't have done what she did. But I don't know what I would have done.
None of us would. She finally decides, "Uh-oh, I'm not qualified for this." I don't know if it's the Florida in her, or I don't know.
Or
the Carol Baskin. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, we have predisposition.
That word.
Judge. Yeah, that
got
word.
It. Nailed it. Yeah. And we didn't know better. We didn't have Jesus yet in our lives at that time. I hate it here. So it's so crazy. It's just like
show. It's been nuts for the past, like, what, 7 years?
Yeah. Well, I won't invite you to watch Housewives with me. Bye.
I don't know. I always go back to what the fuck is wrong with people, you know? It's like, come on.
And
it's like, come on. come on, 200.
Come on,
come on. Like, isn't there stuff in the world that needs that money a lot more than you?
Well, I saw
in the ocean and not coming back.
My comment is the billionaires are off the hook this week. I don't like either of them, but I would love to see Elon Musk get his ass kicked.
Me too. Me too.
Oh my God.
Let's all Steph says. Oh, this is priceless.
Steph says, doesn't matter who wins that fight. We all win. That's right.
Men, millionaires who went down to see the Titanic
in a
dick shaped tube. Jeff Bezos up to space in a dick shaped tube. What's that other one? Elon Musk. I don't know. He is a dick shaped tube. And that's it.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Also, I got a phone call from somebody doing an Arizona voter survey. And I was like, I am so excited you called, except I don't live there anymore. And he was like, that's okay. You can still answer.
Oh,
so
wow.
I was like really excited. I love being a part of surveys. It's only happened to me once or twice.
You're probably the only person alive who likes to
I know.
Do surveys.
I know. Oh, man.
A detective came and knocked on the door. And I said, is it Renee? And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me damn near my whole life.
You can listen now to Season 2 of Proof, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
Four hours ago, I found out the person I'd been dating and seeing for the last 6 months as a con man.
That is my sister Emma. Andrew Tonks' lies had been so convincing, she'd invested $300,000 with him. However, the tables were about to turn on Andrew. What he didn't know was that Emma had discovered his real identity. But to get any chance of justice, Emma had to act like it was business as usual. Coming up in this series...
And that's when murder, all this stuff goes through my mind. I'm really, really scared.
I'm assuming Sarah has watched too much Netflix and figures I've been defrauding you. Couldn't be further from the truth.
That's what this was, a real-life story that seems so unbelievable, but it was actually true.
A true story that all starts with one simple swipe to the right. I'm Sarah Ferris.
And I'm Emma Ferris, and this is my story, Conning the Con.